Hi there, Alan here on the Stats for That podcast. On today's episode, we have Eamon Canning, who is the director of a company called Hempful. They're based in the Northwest and they serve all of Ireland with their products. And their products are CBD oil and premium hemp food products. So it's a very interesting topic, very interesting discussion around his business. But ultimately, we're going to discuss why he's accepting Bitcoin payments in his business and get into a general discussion around Bitcoin, how he discovered Bitcoin, the importance of Bitcoin, and why you as an individual and business owner should be paying attention to this space. Hope you enjoy. So hi there, we've got Eamon here, first of all. This is actually the first podcast of Stats for That podcast with an actual business owner, so that's exciting to start with. But we've got Eamon here from Hempful, and I'll let you introduce yourself first of all. Just tell us a little bit about yourself, about your business and what you do, and we'll go from there.
Okay, so I'm Eamon, and I'm the director and at Hempful. We do hemp, CBD oils, cosmetics, foods, and that as well. And we're a local business here in the northwest of Ireland, but we manufacture and distribute throughout Ireland to health shops and pharmacies here in Northern Ireland as well. But yeah, we work with the local community as well to promote these health products at local levels. And that's from, we started trading in 2016. And we've slowly gone about our work here in Ireland and kept ourselves ticking along on the ground, you know.
Yeah, and then your products are they supplied solely to customers within Ireland generally? Is that, I suppose I'll just actually share your, because you've got a, on your actual site, I suppose the distribution that you have across Ireland, it's basically, well, there's a number of local stores, I assume, stocking your products. Is that mainly how you work, or is it more from an online base, or a bit of both?
Well, predominantly, we work with the health stores. Yeah. You know, in our industry, CBD is such a new product, a new area. Education is very important. So we took that early decision to work with the health stores, health practitioners, where our customers really could get the information they required, and they take CBD and understand how they take CBD and what they expect from taking CBD. So that's a huge factor, huge part of our ethos at Hempful is to get that education across and that customer service.
Yeah.
So you'll find us in most independent health stores throughout Ireland.
Yeah, because obviously there's quite a widespread. I'm just looking at the map here. I'm sharing the screen with it, so it's quite a distributed area for those health stores. Are they predominantly health stores? Like, would you work with the healthcare industry as well? Like, would you discuss
not things? Particularly, it's mostly independent health stores in Ireland. It's a thriving industry in the health food industry. A lot of people in Ireland take their health very seriously, and they would frequent their local health stores where they can get all their supplements and healthy foods. And again, a lot of these health stores are working with their local food producers. Mm-hmm. They take that area very serious. They take their health very serious. So again, CBD is a very serious product. And working with these educated practitioners or educated health store owners, it's very important. So at least they're... Mm-hmm. We, you know, our customers can ask questions and get the right feedback, get the right information. That principle is very important for us. Alan, we do a small online presence as well, obviously for more remote customers or maybe even customers in the UK mainland and even other parts of Europe as well. But again, we're always available on the phone here. They answer questions, the queries online, whatever it might be.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Very similar. You know, we've a lot in common with Bitcoin. I guess, you know, when CBD came to the market, nobody knew what it was. There was a lot of rumors about it, of what it potentially could do. You know, obviously it was from the cannabis plant. So, you know, education again is so important. That point of touch points. whereas they ask questions and get that reassurance that we need. To ensure, because again, there's a lot of abuse in the CBD industry as well.
Yeah.
So fraud, for want of a better word, you know, dodgy products, products aren't exactly what they say, or been missold or misrepresented.
Yeah. Okay, it's understandable. And I guess it's something, you know, certainly the education thing, and the parallel with when we start talking more about Bitcoin as well, it's a similar thing. It's where people get their information from, the perception they have of a particular product. You know, when they talk about CBD or hemp, like, where did they get their information from? Was it just a passing headline? Somebody said something, one of their friends said and maybe a negative comment about it. And I think that's, you know, it plants seeds in maybe the wrong context. So, you know, from an educational point of view, I think as a business as well, with your line of work, it's key to do that. And I suppose, like, drawing that through into the talk about around Bitcoin as well, do you find, well, first of all, like, how did you, or what was the decision, or what made you make the decision of, you know, looking at Bitcoin, or even with now accepting payments in your business, accepting Bitcoin payments? What led you to that kind of decision as such?
It was set up for me in a way. I would be quite outside the box in regards to authority and institutions. You know, I have made moments. You know, I found myself in the hemp industry not by accident. You know, so I first came across Bitcoin actually 2017.
Really? Yeah. Me too.
I didn't do any research. I didn't follow up on it. And I certainly didn't invest in it at the time. Just an interesting, you know, online payment technology potentially. And again, myself personally, I am not very technically savvy whatsoever. So probably just as well I didn't delve too far down the rabbit hole back then. You know, but again, I was actually introduced to it from another guy in 2000. Sorry, 2020.
Yep.
And it was a potential customer we had in South Africa introduced me to it. And then I started to do a wee bit of research and a wee bit of due diligence on it. Started to study the Bitcoin a little bit more, follow some podcasts. I could only Bitcoin Twitter.
Yep.
You know, and yeah, really, I started to understand the principles of Bitcoin. I was like, whoa. And then the more I read, the more I was like, you know, I bought a little bit, actually. Yeah. Bought a little bit at that time.
Yeah.
And that was the pressure then to start studying it. Yeah. To really start to understand what I have. How do you store this? Mm-hmm. Where did I buy it in the first place? You know, when I was exposed to all of those platforms early days, Celsius, BlockFi, you know, I downloaded all those apps.
Yeah.
Thankfully, there was a lot of Bitcoin toxicity on Bitcoin Twitter.
Yeah.
And I didn't store any of my Bitcoin in any of those places. And I have my own cold storage. And I also have my own node. And again, for somebody who's completely unsavvy when it comes to technology, it's been very, very, very easy.
I found it very easy. Well, I suppose that's the thing, because you come to realize what it is, and then you realize, oh, well, the importance of, you know, self-custody and storing it. And I think it's such a complex topic, it's such a complex subject for people to get, because they generally, again, get their information about hearing Bitcoin on the mainstream media, the headlines, and most of that is, you know, from actually understanding it, most of it is totally, in many respects, totally false. How they actually, you know, talk about Bitcoin on the mainstream media, you come to realize that. And then, as you say, on Twitter as well, there's a lot of toxicity and various things, but when you actually realize the people that are actually genuinely trying to advance technology, advance societies and things like that, they are generally all involved within the Bitcoin scene. And if you attend a conference, like I went to the UK Bitcoin conference there last December, I think November, December in Edinburgh. I think that was the first one. And the thing about it was most people get caught up on the price and everything, and they talk about the volatility, and they're always, you know, talking about the price. Or your friends might say something about, you know, how's Bitcoin doing? It's dropped 80%, and, you know, kind of laugh at you in many respects. But ultimately, at the conference, I came to realize as well, the community of people, there wasn't a mention of the price effectively. It was talking about the technology, how it can actually, you know, correct the major issues that are in the current financial system. It's an absolutely a new system that can replace that system for the betterment of everyone. And there's a real kind of emphasis on improvement, on helping humanity as such. And it sounds like a big grand scale kind of vision, but ultimately that's most of the people within that space. That's what their desire is to do. And I think bringing it back to local business owners, I think from my point of view, we have the key responsibility because we have a certain amount of trust in our local areas as well. And actually discussing the topic of Bitcoin, making people more aware of it, and in doing what you're doing and what I'm doing myself in my business and accepting Bitcoin payments, and be it at the start, you won't be accepting many Bitcoin payments because most people don't use it. They're scared of it. They've got that perception that maybe it's a bad thing, but it takes time and it takes work to actually uncover, first of all, what it is and why it's important. And, you know, if you look at society and the global economy now, like we're in such a mess, you know, you've got the cost of living, inflation, and just the money system, how it functions. And I think most people, and including myself, pre-2020, again, I didn't know how money worked. And I think as a prerequisite of understanding Bitcoin, you generally have to have an idea about how the money system works. And then when you see how it is total dysfunctional, like there's no, it doesn't function properly for society at all. When you come to realize that's the problem, when you see why inflation is a problem, then when you discover Bitcoin, it's important to talk about that with other people. I think, would you agree with that in that respect?
What I've noticed, a lot of people aren't interested. They won't, and they can't get their head around it. Society is so far gone, it's nearly upside down. Yeah. So the great thing about Bitcoin is, you know, it's a bottom-up movement, but the principles of Bitcoin can very much mirror the principles of our own being. You know, where that honesty. So it's a difficult... It's a difficult principle to grasp for most people. They understand that the money's broken, society's broken.
Yeah.
It's not an easy pill to swallow.
No.
So the automatic reaction to something like this is to deny it or ignore it but laugh at it, scoff at it potentially.
Yeah.
You know, and I find that a lot. And, you know, recently, like I know a lot of people working at Royal Mail, and they've been striking.
Yeah.
For the last 6 months, they've had a lot of strike action, or the last 12 months anyway. They've been taking a lot of time off, unpaid strike leave. And, you know, I would say, you know, a better angle rather than you know, trying to squeeze what's already broken here. You're not really going to get what you're looking for. It's not available.
No.
This money, the nurses and the doctors and stuff are looking for more money, but this money's not available.
No.
To be honest with you. And I says, look at something, look at an alternative. You can opt out of your difficulties here with Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm.
And of course it's laughed at and it's scoffed. Yeah, but it's across the whole society. You know, we're living in a broken system.
Yeah. And people don't want to admit that. Yeah. And I think it takes a lot to admit that. It does. Because most people, like, you've been brought up in the system. You work to earn your money in the system. And when it's such an ingrained system, like it's been functioning effectively for nearly 60 years in the current setup, but it requires more and more money to be created to actually allow the system to function, which is the main driver of inflation, which again, most people don't understand that. I didn't fully understand it myself and still don't fully understand, but it's just getting that general awareness of that. But when you're, I suppose when you're basing the economy on, you know, it's effectively counterfeiting, It's theft through taxes and inflation and corruption, manipulation of money. When your foundation of society is built on that, it will reflect in how society functions, I think. Well, that's my take on it anyway. And I suppose, as you mentioned there, Bitcoin is effectively truth. It's an open, transparent, honest system. And because it's not centralized, it can't be controlled by any government or, you know, sole group of people or individual. And it's totally decentralized across the globe. So it's effectively money for everybody. And it's based on a system of truth, trust, or trustlessness and fairness, which...
In fairness, it doesn't take a lot. It doesn't take a lot to reach these conclusions and an understanding of the principles of Bitcoin. It does not take a lot.
I suppose it's true, yeah.
Mm. You know, this is, it's hard money.
Yep.
It's capped at 21 million.
Yep.
You know, it's, as you say, it's honest. It can't be manipulated or corrupted. It's secure. It's based on proof of work. Energy, backed by energy, which is such an important element of this protocol.
Yeah,
you know, it's not difficult to grasp, and you know, again, taking out that third party counterparty risk as well, you know, especially with the current banking scenarios that are going on, the banking crisis again, it's very self evident. You know, it's just been open to do a little bit of research,
yeah,
without completely brushing it aside, do a wee bit of due diligence. And let's face it, this is money. Such an important role in all of our daily lives.
Yeah.
So this is our bread and butter stuff.
Well, that's it, yeah.
Monetary system. So people, they take 15, 20 minutes a day or in a week, an hour or two a week, they study.
Yeah.
Learn. This is value. Yeah. Again, proof of work. Perspective. Yeah. What you put on, you'll get Bitcoin when you're ready. These kind of things. So I understand that. And, you know, my orange pulling is, I suppose, a bit more... Put it out there. And if they want it, they can have it. I don't try to force it. I talk about Bitcoin all the time. I do put it out there, and I'm laughed at quite often.
You get to the point where it just runs off you like water in many respects. Yeah. But it's true. You can't forcibly say to someone, you have to look at this. You have to study this. I think it's identifying people. You have to meet people where they are. I suppose people come from different points of view, different contexts, different age groups across society. So it's where it really reflects on how it impacts positively and within their life. But, you know, in many respects, in trying to figure out, you know, is Bitcoin, like, will it not work, for instance? Or you always try to figure out, well, is this not going to happen? Is this not going to work? But every time you try to kind of debunk it and as such, you can't. It's just because of the, as you say, it's proof of work. It's based on math, physics, based on nature, the laws of nature effectively. Yeah. So I think a lot of people, again, until you actually realize that, it's difficult for people to get their head around. But as you say, based on where we are currently, it shouldn't be that difficult to realize on the properties of what Bitcoin offers, on the monetary system, how it functions, and the value that it brings to people for the future as well. Especially for your kids. If you've got young kids, you're a parent. That's the thing that's driving me to kind of, you know, understand and push this more and to talk to more people about it. You know, you don't want your kids growing up in a society where inflation is running rampant. You know, the cost of everything's ridiculous. And people are currently striving more and more to work more, to earn more, and then spending less and less time with their families.
That's the great thing. I get my own peace of mind out of it. Since I've gone on to the Bitcoin standard myself, I have huge financial security, huge peace of mind for the future.
Yeah,
huge hope for my children. Mm. Last night we played the Satoshi Cup.
Oh yeah,
And both my children, both my boys, have digital wallets.
Uh-huh.
They're 6 and 11 years old.
Awesome.
They're both well exposed to Satoshis, and they get some pocket money in it. And if they can beat me at football, The likes, they get a few satoshis as well. So last night, awesome. And they won their fair share of satoshis off me.
Yeah.
But I have hope for the future.
Yeah.
And, you know, a great peace and I sleep well at night, these kind of things. People will get Bitcoin when they're ready.
Yeah.
And they won't get it because it's coming. It's inevitable.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's very similar. I understand the principles around CBD.
Yep.
CBD is works very effectively in the human with the human DNA. It's a natural compound that our body readily accepts, and it works. But we have a lot of red tape around marketing and advertising and even selling online. But CBD works.
Yeah.
And it's word of mouth. People are taking CBD and it's working.
Yeah.
That's how the CBD industry has grown.
Yeah.
Because large corporations like Google, PayPal, all these advertising agencies, payment platforms, they've all washed their hands of CBD.
Yeah.
And created a lot of hurdles. Blocks for CBD, but yet and all, it's a growing industry because it works.
Yeah.
It works. People are taking CBD, people are getting the benefits, and they're telling their friends, and they're trying it, and it's growing, and it's repetitive. Very similar with Bitcoin. Bitcoin works.
Yeah.
And people will get it when they're ready.
Yeah.
People will scoff at CBD. Ah, CBD, what do you mean? And I don't have to take it. It's up to them. But yet and all, the people that do are reaping the benefits.
Yeah. It's the same concept, as you say. It's very similar, actually, when you talk about it like that. And I suppose the issues, as you said, you had issues, didn't you, with payment processors, basically stopping payments, blocking you from your customers actually making payments.
Obviously, making decisions for their customers. You know, we're going to keep you safe from making bad decisions online here and buying. Like, we're a registered company. We're registered with a local food authority. All our products are fully regulated, compliant, tested, certified. We don't break any rules. We don't bend any rules. We play by the rules. We work with, like I say, all the local independent health stores and that as well. So we go about our work appropriately.
Yeah.
But getting all these larger corporations think, no. Yeah. Even though we have all that in place, we're still not allowed to advertise, you know, like Facebook. You're still not allowed to promote your business on Google.
Yeah.
There's still a lot of areas of control.
Yeah. Yeah, you're at the mercy of what their decisions are effectively to develop and grow your business.
For the customers.
Yeah.
So Google will decide what you see. Google will decide what's good for you.
Yeah.
PayPal will decide where you can spend your money. They're ready to do that.
Yeah.
You know, whereas if you're selling Bitcoin, you can go onto our website and spend your Bitcoin no matter where you are in the world. MasterCard recently stopped a couple of payments from our clients based on where they were situated.
Mm-hmm.
And from that, they removed their services. So we had a lot of issues with MasterCard based on a couple of customers trying to buy CBD.
Yeah, and that flagged it up, I suppose. And that's the beauty with Bitcoin, with spending sats in a business or satoshis, which are the units of Bitcoin. Effectively, you know, from the BTC map, I've just shared the screen here as well, because it identifies businesses that are based across the globe that are accepting Bitcoin. And we've got yourself there, obviously, coming up. You can just click on the little icon, it brings it up. So that system, the ability to accept Bitcoin in your business, you know, how easy was that for you to set up? You know, with these issues you were having, you know, it was a kind of option for you outside the current system, which basically what Bitcoin is, it separates effectively government, central banks, and it separates state from money as such. And how easy was that for you to implement on within your business?
Well, from a business point of view, like I say, we're fully registered and regulated. So we have no issue. We work with Coin Corner.
Yep.
An Isle of Man based company. And, you know, so they have a simple plugin for the website.
Yeah.
It was very simple, creating an account, Apple account with CoinCoiner and just set up that plugin at the back end of the website, and very, very, very simple process. not difficult at all.
Yeah, no,
that's from a business point of view, that's fine. And we go through a third party in that respect.
Yeah. Because I use Coin Corner also, and it's so easy. Like I found it extremely. Well, it's easy. They set it up mostly from their end, but it's such an easy process. But again, ultimately as well, you have the option. You can actually have your people pay in Bitcoin. That can be converted immediately into euros or GBP into your bank account. So, you know, you effectively don't even need to know that you're using Bitcoin as such. But if somebody wants to buy or pay for your products or services via the Lightning Network, which these payments run on the Lightning Network, which I suppose is that layer two. It's the layer above the foundational Bitcoin monetary system that allows for lightning fast payments. And when you break it down as well, it's actually cheaper for businesses to accept payments via Lightning as well, via the Bitcoin services, which is another big thing, you know, for any business owner listening or watching this as well. That by itself, even if you don't maybe think about Bitcoin or are not aware of what it is or why it's such an important thing, the fact is, from a cost-saving point of view, it's cheaper to run your payments through Bitcoin payments or accepting sats within your business as opposed to MasterCard or Visa payments as well.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a strange thing. But, you know, ultimately, with technology, as technology advances, and that's the thing. I was listening to Jeff Booth. I've read his book a few times, The Price of Tomorrow.
Yeah.
It takes a lot to get your head around that. But, you know, technology is exponentially improving and should be making everybody's lives better. It should be driving the costs of things down. But because of the way the financial system is structured, it requires everything to go up in price. So they're going in separate directions. And it's going to come to the point where, you know, it's not going to function properly. Whereas technology is the driving force for us in the future, I think, generally. So Bitcoin is set up for that system, for that space, for that future that we're all going to be kind of evolving into.
It's a very good subject. Jeff Booth as well, as you say, and you can see it across all of our productivity. You know, you think of our food, the inflation in food, and yet the shrinkflation going on in food, and also the standards of our day-to-day living has dropped. You know, furniture even. You know, they used to get those oak and those sort of flat packs now, yet no. So, and it's the same with our food. I can see standards of our food has dropped off massively. And that's all been that gap between quality price and yet the efficiency of our technology, that whole gap is being sucked up by the cotillionaires or the government or whatever it might be.
All the money flows to that 0.1% or 0.1% of society. And it takes time to get your head around that as well, how that whole system functions, especially when it comes to food. But it is based on this, the fiat monetary system, which is basically our money's been, you know, mandated by government. It's legal tender. The government forces us to use this as a form of our economic value and trade. And when you see that, it's crazy how it functions. But ultimately, yes, it's one of the things.
Use of that system,
Yeah, well, I think that's the thing. It's because it has to be manipulated for society and the system to function the way it is. And when people kind of start to understand that, and as you say, do their own research along the lines, you'll inevitably come to realize and come to discover Bitcoin because of that. Because effectively, it's the only, I think I'm right in saying it is effectively the only or the certainly the best solution we have to the current mess that the system is. And I think it's a moral imperative for people to realize that.
For as long as we can remember, in our current civilization, the past 6,000 years since we've been on a gold standard, but you know, I think as a Seyfarin goes into it and the coin standard about the different monetary. Units that we've been using for the last 6,000 years.
Yeah,
it's always been an engineering shortcoming.
Yeah.
It's always been leaking. Yeah. As like our senior talks about it, you know, there's a leak in our monetary system, and there always has been.
Yeah.
And that has been the basis of manipulation, fraud, corruption, etc. For the first time in humanity, we have a hard, secure, unleaking system.
This
changes everything.
Sailor is fantastic at describing things. Like, it's a thermodynamically sound system, if you base it on physics. So it's a system that it doesn't leak energy. And I think the leakage of the energy in the current system is caused by the creation of new money. It's the inflation, which is devaluing, or it's leaking the value out of our savings. And as you said, all throughout, civilization, 6,000 years of history there, it wasn't the government or the central bank or an individual or a group that decided this has to be money. It was the civilization actually kind of converged on the best form of...
Yeah, they had no other options. Like, they
medium,
no,
yeah.
And then it was obviously, it was open to heresy, abuse, greed. So there was always going to be warmongering and stuff like that there. It was open to physical confiscation. So the fiat and all these systems, gold especially, any kind of commodities, people, the natural tendency for greed and power left these systems exposed or susceptible to war and pilfering and plundering and stuff like that there. But for the first time ever now, we have, first time in humanity, we use this to moral imperative. This is it's unbelievable.
It's crazy. What
we've discovered here. And, I think that really does... You start going down that rabbit hole, it's an amazing, such a privilege to be at the principal point of this, at the bottom page of this transition.
Well, that's true. But like on the big scale, like the major thing was war. Like, the current system incentivizes in a way wars, and which causes death and hardship. And when you have a system now in place, when you have Bitcoin there, that allows for more peace in the world, and more distributed wealth across the world, as opposed to being held by a small group. That's why it is the moral imperative. It's something that more people need to know and understand, and it's why business owners like yourself, are able to, accept the payments, be happy to be accepting this, and feel like it's the point is as well. And what Sailor says is, ethical to actually talk about this with other people. You've got Bitcoin is classed as a property similar to that of gold, whereas you've got all these cryptos within the crypto space, and I think that's certainly where my friends and family get the hang up. It's the whole crypto thing, which is the kind of alarm bells start to ring, and when you associate Bitcoin with crypto, which most people do, it sort of masks the importance of what Bitcoin is, whereas Bitcoin's a completely separate thing. Based on its properties, its principles, how it functions, and the other crypto stuff's just a copycat industry where there's a lot of fraud, manipulation. It's basically an extension of the current system, piggybacking on that, on Bitcoin, effectively on the creation of Bitcoin. But it's such an important concept, and it's great. The fact is, I suppose, as a business owner too, being aware of this and being able to, openly talk about it as well, because a lot of people are kind of a little bit afraid to talk about it potentially with, family members, even their customers within their business. But it's being able to be open and transparent about it, because that's what the network is based on and why it's such an important thing. And as I say, there's so many different entry points to discover Bitcoin. And I think we've touched on quite a few there. you could literally talk for days on end about it, couldn't you? It's crazy. But I suppose from your point of view as well, like, how do you see things developing, like in business owners accepting Bitcoin via the Lightning Network, being able to get something set up? There's different, like Coin Corner is one of the companies that can help business owners get set up. There's other ones as well. You can actually do it yourself, I believe, as well. But ultimately, like, how do you see things developing in that space specifically for businesses? And what would your advice be for other business owners or individuals, I suppose, in regards to Bitcoin?
Well, for businesses, I often ask when I am out shopping about, or like my mechanic. I do pay for a few things on Bitcoin. Satoshis, yep. For me, web developer, old tech Satoshis.
Yeah.
I haven't managed to convert yet, but I always ask them, well, mechanic, still take a Bitcoin yet? Oh, not yet. but, you know, working on them, hairdressers, yeah. These kind of guys, barbers. So, you know, just spreading the word that way. For me, it makes sense because I personally have an interest in Bitcoin.
Yeah.
So for me, as a director of a business, I can understand my balance sheet.
Yeah.
Would have some Bitcoin on it. Mm-hmm. Any of my reserves, and I can look at my net margins at the end of the year are forecast at 10%. If I am, you know, that 10% needs to be put somewhere, it's going to be making money.
Yeah.
Okay. So for me, anything sales wise, 10%, I can keep. If I'm doing 10% of my sales in Bitcoin,
mm-hmm.
I don't have to convert that. I'm comfortable keeping that.
Yeah.
For my balance sheet.
Yeah.
Anything else can be converted instantly, as you talk about in CoinCoiner. But I'm comfortable with that because I know the long term vision is of my company and of Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. That's a no brainer.
Yeah.
That comes from my own personal experience. So for me, understanding the personal value in Bitcoin first and foremost, it naturally converts into any kind of business decisions. That's the first principle. Then understand the benefits to save a few pounds, as you say, the percentage, fees, all areas. But I think you still need to understand the core value of Bitcoin first.
Yeah.
From a point of view.
Totally agree. Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think it's a straight, when you look actually at the map itself, that BTC map, where it, you know, shows the number of businesses currently accepting Bitcoin, it'll be interesting just with other conversations with other business owners. Like, is it a matter of, is it the personal journey happen first? Or, you know, is it in the majority of cases, is it somebody's actually approached the person and mentioned it to them? Then they've had to kind of go and, you know, discover what it is. Because I know there's certain areas on the globe, like sort of communities setting up circular economies. Like there's Lugano in Switzerland, El Salvador as a country has obviously made Bitcoin legal tender. So it actually, in a way, you know, incentivizes business owners, individuals to learn about it, I suppose. So I suppose you generally have to get a baseline understanding of what it is from a personal context. And then when you see that, I suppose that makes you as a business owner happy to then start accepting that and talk about that with other customers and prospects. Yeah.
I think that's the nature of Bitcoin. This is a personal journey.
Yeah.
Personal journey and the financial independence. That obviously, if you are any way aligned with the principles that Bitcoin offer, you will transfer those morals and principles into your business.
Yeah,
but my business, we have three principles at Hempful.
Mm-hmm.
Quality products, mm-hmm. first and foremost. High quality products. We work with the best in Europe. And secondly, is customer service. Mm-hmm. Again, that transfers into all our independent health shops, our own beliefs and services they offer to the customers, and then value. So again, those principles come from a personal standpoint as well.
Yeah.
That's not a coincidence that you'll find that transcend that comes from myself.
Yeah. So
a natural transition on the Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Is easy for me and my business.
I think that's a key connection there. Actually, the principles, your principles as an individual, and again, based on what was mentioned earlier, the principles of the current financial system or how it functions do not align with the majority of the globe's individual personal principles as humans as such.
Yeah.
You know, this whole the system's corrupt, it manipulated, there's fraud, there's a lot of stuff that's not aligned with people. And again, that's how it's reflecting in society, the way everything's dysfunctional in many respects. But this then transitions people's individual principles. And as a grassroots movement, you don't require an organization, a company to give you permission to start understanding or learning about Bitcoin or using Bitcoin as a savings technology, as a payments method. So it allows people to take that initiative, I suppose, from their, again, first principles, from their own principles, and then start using the Bitcoin concept and in their life as well. Because it does start impacting many aspects of your life that you would have never thought of prior to actually learning about it. And even just as you say, doing that, what did you say, this Toshi cup with your kids, that kind of thing, you know, said it, that's awesome. Like, I'm going to steal that from you for my own kids, I think. But like those kind of things, it instills principles and morals as well within your family structure for your kids. And it comes back to a system based on truth and honesty. And I think that's key. So yeah, that's fantastic.
And then when you hear the lies and drivel coming out of politicians, and even still, people still believe it.
Yeah,
there's a huge challenge we have as Bitcoiners or as society in general. We have to overcome the bullshit first. There's so much bullshit out there. Let's face it, that they can't grasp an honest system.
Yeah,
that's the difficulty, because they still believe in this fraudulent bullshit. Like, how can you believe it? I think the whole pandemic malarkey was a red. Now that maybe converted a few. And they started to look on this. But, you know, people who are still believers in that system cannot buy into Bitcoin.
Yeah.
They can't because Bitcoin is contrary to everything that our political corrupt systems tell us.
Yeah, it flips everything on its head. I think you need to get to the point where you start thinking for yourself. I think that's the key thing. A lot of people like to be led, and it's not their fault. It's just the way, again, politics, society's been kind of created over the last few decades or even centuries, effectively. But yeah, people like to be led. They like to be told what to do, what's happening. It is fine. Yeah,
but I guess. That's not who we're preaching to. That's not who we're trying to educate here. Mm-hmm. Keep those touch points open.
Yeah.
Like I say, people, they might not buy from me online with Bitcoin, mm-hmm. but they see it every time they go to check out Bitcoin. And some will eventually ask the question.
Well, yeah.
Some will eventually start to do their own research. And those are the people who are potentially have the potential to open their mind to the we'll get it. The rest will get it when they're ready. Some will never get it.
Yeah.
And they'll be oblivious to it anyway.
Yeah. Well, that's it. You can't kind of, you know, get everybody to realize everything at once. It's a slow process, and it's such a big, you know, it's a huge shift in society and in economics as well, to, you know, think of this system outside the current system. But it's such an amazing thing. Like, it's one of those things, from when I discovered it and went down, you know, as you say, down the rabbit hole, it's so eye-opening to many things that up to the point in time, up to 2020, I just didn't really question certain things, like, how does money work? What is money? What is the problem? And is there a solution? And now that we have all that in front of us and people are open, like, the information on the internet's, you know, free for pretty much everybody to access, there's no reason why more and more people won't discover this and start using it and learning more about it. But no, I think we've probably gone long enough there, Eamon, for now anyway. Yeah. I suppose we've covered quite a few things, and it was fantastic talking to you about it. And I hope to continue the discussions with you over time as well on certain things. But ultimately, I suppose, first of all, where can people find you? I suppose your business, where's the best place to go to find you or your business as such?
Well, you can visit our website, hempful.eu.
Mm-hmm.
On there, you can see, as you said, all the stores where you can buy our products.
Yeah.
And you can get in contact as well. We're also on some social media platforms as well, like Twitter. I think it's HempfulBTC on Twitter.
Okay.
And we're on Facebook and Instagram as well.
Yeah. No, that's perfect. Yeah, you've got quite a good presence online, actually, social media-wise as well. So, no, that's cool. And I suppose we'll leave it at that. But I suppose, do you have any specific closing thoughts for everybody? Anything you want to kind of leave people with before we wrap up?
Not at all. Just stack sets. Stay humble.
Stack sets. Good stuff. No, we've covered a lot. There's been a lot of information. Yeah, I hope it was useful for anybody watching, listening. Feel free to reach out anytime. There'll be links dropped below to Eamon's website and various social media channels as well as a few resources below the video and on the podcast. So thanks for now, Eamon. I really appreciate your time. Great conversation. And hope to talk again soon. Okay?
Well, thank you.
Cheers.